if you're going to build, you're going to want to get the highest amount of revenue that the property can generate. So the highest rents. Well, the highest rents are Class A luxury building. Depending on the market, you can get $3,000-$4,000 for a one bed per unit. Some places even higher than that. So that's going to be the majority, if not all, units coming to market.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What's going on, everybody? You know the drill. Every Friday, we're coming at you all things personal finance because you got to get that money right, because it's not what you make, but what you keep. And today, I've got a real estate topic when it comes to personal finance. Shocker there, right? The Multifamily Podcast talking about real estate. Real shocker. But yeah, I want to talk about rent growth. Obviously, a lot of uncertainty in the market, but there's always talk about the supply and demand imbalance. You hear the numbers anywhere from 1 to 6 million in housing units that are going to be needed, and the supply is not there to match that. We've got an affordable housing crisis. And obviously, there's some truth to all of that. But as cliche as it is, real estate comes down to one thing. And I've been in this business for several years now, and we invest in several different markets, and it's different in every market. It really comes down to what's going on in the local municipality, the local area, from a demographic standpoint, from a supply standpoint, from what's the pipeline of new build. And that's what I really want to hit on today, because everyone talks about investing in these high growth states. People want to stay out of the tertiary markets. They want to go for these high growth cities like the Dallases, the Phoenixes, the Austins, the Tampas of the world, which is great, right? If those are your markets you're going after, there we definitely have seen some boom. Markets are also known for busts, right? They're the boom and bust market. A lot has to do with that is supply and demand. Now let's think about it. Let's look at Austin, for instance. Austin has been the fastest growing city, probably the number one fastest growing city, not number one, definitely in the top three for the past 3 years. Obviously, the pandemic had a lot to do with that. People relocating, both businesses and then just for remote work, people relocating, kind of been one of the many, but definitely has reaped the most benefit from kind of the migration of tech workers in tech companies. And so what does that lead to? Well, it obviously leads to growth from a building standpoint, an apartment building standpoint, which makes perfect sense. When you have record numbers of people moving to an area, more housing need to be built. And when you're seeing record rent growth, 20, 30% year over year, you're going to want to build there. And when you had record low interest rates, it was easy to get capital, cheap capital to build said projects. It just made a lot of sense. But what can happen with that is everyone and their mother wants to build, and then you get a huge pipeline of construction. And then if there's any snag in migration of population growth, that can really hurt you. And we're starting to see that. Now let's look at some of the fastest growing or largest pipeline. So properties under construction, the largest market. So number one is Austin with 61,873 units under construction, followed by Dallas shortly behind with 60,532. Rounding at the top three is Miami with 44,533. And Charlotte rounds out the top 10 at 32,188 units. And if you dig a little deeper and you look at, we're still going to pick on Austin here. If you look at what also in the planning and permitting phases, you've got an additional 106 units in Austin, Texas. Now, if we look at population growth, it has been stellar again over the past 3 years. However, what we're starting to see is we're starting to see some, not all businesses that said they were going to move, some are moving out of there because just the cost to operate there is starting to get high. And then you're also hearing about remote workers being called back to work. And if those headquarters didn't move to Austin where they move, they're either going to have to get a new job in that city or move back if they want to keep their employment. And I've heard of this in other cities as well. Austin is not the only. I've heard it in Boise where people left Silicon Valley and moved to Boise. And now their jobs are mandating that they either return or they will have to leave. And so they're leaving Boise, going back to work. And this is happening everywhere. So let's think about that. You have 61,000 units about to come to market. You've got another over 100,000 in either planning or permitting phases. What happens if that population growth doesn't keep up? You're going to have an oversupply. Well, what happens when you have an oversupply? Well, let's think about it. You got brand new Class A properties, and the most likely Class A, if we think about it, right? Just because, especially with today's rates to borrow capital and material costs, labor costs, it is very expensive to build. So if you're going to build, you're going to want to get the highest amount of revenue that the property can generate. So the highest rents, well, the highest rents are Class A luxury building. Depending on the market, you can get $3,000-$4,000 for a one bed per unit. Some places even higher than that. So that's going to be the majority, if not all units coming to market will be that quality. Well, what's going to happen? Well, if there's an oversupply and not much demand because net migration has slowed down, these buildings, they need to fill up because they need to generate some revenue. Even if it isn't to pro forma revenue, some revenue is better than zero. So what are they going to do? One, they're going to reduce the rent that they might have put on the pro forma, and or they're going to give concessions. And what's that going to do? Well, it's me, the renter. Think of yourself. You're in this market, brand new property, and you can get into it for $500 a month less than where you're currently living. Let's say it's 10-year-old property and you can move into a brand new property with brand new amenities, more amenities that you have right now, possibly even a better location for $500 a month cheaper. And maybe they're going to give you a month free of rent. Well, I'm jumping on that. I don't know about you, but I'm going to jump on that. Well, then what happens? It's a trickle-down effect. The property that you're leaving is going to have to reduce their rent. Otherwise, they're just going to continue to lose and bleed residents and their vacancy is going to skyrocket. Well, to stay competitive, they have to reduce their rent. So then people will stay, well, I'm actually going to save money. I don't have to move. I'll stay here. Or it trickles down to another person was in a 15-year-old building. Now they get into a 10-year-old building with better amenities, higher quality finishes, or cheaper than they currently pay. So they're going to move. Well, then that building that's 15 years old is going to have to start charging less to make sure they just don't bleed residents and their vacancy skyrockets. And it's a trickle down effect. So it starts with the Class A, goes down Class A minus to Class B plus B, all the way down to Class C, where everyone is going to have to start charging less rent to maintain occupancy. And this has happened in the past, but again, as I referenced at the beginning of this episode, it's based on location. It all comes down to what's in the pipeline, how much supply is coming to market relative to demand. Now, you could be in a market where there is a bunch of supply about to come on, but the demand is still so high, it's going to be absorbed. Or you could be in a market where there's so much demand, but there's little supply, so you're not going to see rents move. They may actually even go up, even if we're in a recession. Some of the markets we're actually seeing that. I'm in a market where rents continue to go up because supply is not there. And that's for a multitude of reasons, such as being too costly to build. Developers don't even bother. Two, the permitting and planning phase is just one way too costly. And a lot of times results in no's. So no one wants to waste their time or money on that. So many roadblocks and speed bumps that just aren't worth people's time and money to try to develop. So supply stays very constant and the pipeline is little to zero, which then, of course, keeps rents up because the demand is still there. Gets to a point where demand can only grow so much, rents grow so much, right? But that's what keeps those rents high. And again, this is per market. Because in other markets, like we've been alluding to, where there's so much supply coming on because there's been such a boom in net migration, rent growth, that everyone wanted to build. Everyone wanted to get a piece of the gold, right? And then it comes to a point where it's just not sustainable because there's so much supply that it can't maintain that rent growth or even current rents. And so I wanted to come on here and share this because if you are thinking of investing in real estate, don't always get hooked on by the hot name of the current market, like the Austins of the world, the Dallas, the Phoenix. And that's not to say anything's wrong with these markets. There's still obviously opportunities here, but you just have to be careful. You got to make sure that the underwriting is not too optimistic or not really that optimistic based on fact. And you got to make sure it's in a good location, that it's insulated to some of these potential issues. How are the amenities at this property, the location, quality, what's the tenant base, what's the supporting jobs in the area? And then obviously the operator is obviously important. But in terms of market, you need to be really careful. If you can get in a good basis, then that makes perfect sense. But if you're still buying at these crazy valuations in these markets, I think those people are in a lot of trouble. It's not sustainable. With the numbers that are about to come online, there's going to be some hit to rent. So I think it's important to make sure you know what's happening in the markets you're investing in. Yes, it might have been hot in the past, but as always, past performance is not indicative of future results. And this is a big one. I think this is one that not a lot of people are looking at. Everyone thinks, oh yeah, there's a huge housing crisis. Rents are just going to go up. Sure, in some markets, but not in all. Just like in anything, it comes down to basic economics of supply and demand. When there's more units than there is people to rent them, rents are not going to go up. They're going to flatline to drop. That's just basic. So make sure you know your markets. And again, this is a common theme I bring up. You really need to know your markets to be intimate with your markets. That's how you succeed in this business. This is about speed. And when you know more than the next guy, you can act quicker. You can know when a deal is a deal, and you can know when a deal is not a deal and move on to the next faster than others. Know your market intimately. Well, everybody, thanks for tuning in as always. Very appreciative. And as always, easy doesn't pay well and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you so we can all create the lives of our and make this world a better place. All right, catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.